Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back. Today's Daf Yomi is Menachos Ayin Aleph. We begin on the very last line of Ayin Amud Beis. Amalei Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar turns to Rabbi Yoshia. The Rabbi Yoshia, but there were two Rabbi Yoshias. This one was the Dari of his generation. Rashi says his generation, his colleague, as opposed to Rabbi Yoshia from way back, who was a Tana. This one was an Amira. And he approaches him with a question. He says like this. You know, we have a Mishnah learned yesterday that the Omer will cover a grain which took root. So that's the determinant factor. If it takes root prior to the bringing of the Omer, then it's covered by the Omer, and eventually when it grows, you can have it. But if it's has not taken root yet prior to the Omer's offering, then it doesn't belong to this year's season. It doesn't relate to this year's crop. It's considered next year's growth, in which case you have to wait until next year's Omer to cover for it. That was the halacha in the Mishnah. The question is the source. How do we know this? So Rabbi Elazar turns to Rabbi Yoshia. He says, don't sit down until you tell me the answer. Lo teisev. Don't sit down. Akarech means your feet. Stay standing. Ad mefarshisle lamasa memilsa. Until you explain to me the following halacha. Give me the source, please. Menayin lo Omer shemate bashrusha. How do we know that Omer permits grain which has taken root? How do we know that, you know, taking root is the precondition for linkage to the Omer? Menalan. So he says in response, Menalan, what do you mean from where? Menalan? Tachsev. Take a look at the pasuk. It says that the Omer material itself is Aviv, right? Aviv means fully grown, fully mature. Aviv Kali Beish. Now, logic would say, explains Rashi, logic would dictate that the Omer can only be brought from material which the Omer permits, right? Let's think about it. The Omer is a representation of that material. Okay, once you bring the Omer, it covers for all and you can eat the rest. So, if, in fact, the only grain which is covered by the Omer is fully grown, fully developed, aviv, then why does the Torah have to stipulate that the Omer likewise needs to be aviv material? I mean, it's obvious. If it's coming to cover for the aviv, it itself has to be aviv. The fact that the Torah has to seek out, the Torah has to stipulate, make sure the Omer is aviv. Apparently, there is non-aviv material as well, which will be covered by the Omer. But don't bring the Omer from that. Bring it from the aviv. So there we see that even if we have non-developed grain, it's still going to be permitted by the Omer. The Chsiv Aviv, Lav Mechla, we learn from here, apparently, the Ikud Lav Aviv. That there is other materials that are not Aviv, and they're going to be permitted by the Omer. So they were okay, fine. Not Aviv doesn't necessarily mean, ungrown. I mean, it could mean partially developed stalks, which haven't yet fully developed, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's sitting in the ground, just barely taking root. I mean, that's taking a pretty far step there. Says the Gemara, Vidumo, perhaps the lav aviv. I understand it's not yet aviv. Loyal dayal shlish, perhaps the other grain which will be permitted by the Omer still has to achieve a third of its growth, which gives it, you know, grain status, which makes it edible. Ru says that even something less than that, less developed than that, is covered. Elamar Shmuel, rather we go to a different pasuk. Mahachal Chermish. Pasuk says that the Omer is meant to be, you know, the first cutting. Chermish is, you know, the harvesting with a sickle, right? Chermish is a sickle. So apparently, there are other materials that are not really developed to the point of harvesting. Lav mechalal, apparently there is the ikad lav bar chermesh. There's plenty of grain that's not ready for harvesting, which means it's still undeveloped, which means less than a third grown. Because as Rashi explains, once it hits a third, it's already technically considered harvestable. Okay, says the Gemara, you're right, fine, it's less than a third, but it doesn't mean it's in the ground. Alright, same question. I understand perhaps it's not ready for harvest, perhaps it's still, you know, young and green, but it's already developed somewhat. Amar Bitzchak, Kama. Let's take a look at the pasuk again. Mehachal Chermesh ba Kama. The Omer material is meant to be harvested. It's standing grain. Lav Mechal de Lav Bar Kama. Apparently there is other grain that's not yet standing. It's not yet visible above ground. Not yet fully stand. Said the Gemara, okay, Vedulma, once again, Vedulma de Lav Bar Kama, perhaps it's not yet fully, erect, but perhaps it's still sprouted. Agam Rashi says is something that bends over, like it's still in its grass stage, but again, it's above surface and visible. Elam Arava. So how do we know that Hashrasha, taking root, in fact, is the cutoff point? Asher Tizra. Pasuk says, this is actually by the Ishtei Alechem, Rashi says, V'chag HaKotzer, Bikurei Ma'asech Asher Tizra V'asoda. And Rashi explains that the Ishtei Alechem and the Oymar really, it's synonymous, because only material which had become permitted through the Omer will further be permitted and used by the Shtei Alechem. So it really goes hand in hand. And since the Pasuk references something which was planted and took root with respect to the Shtei Alechem, we apply the same principle regarding the Omer as well. Shetizer Mishasriya. So something which had been planted is already covered. Okay, so let's take it to the other extreme. Who says it needs to take root? If you're working with the Loshen Tizra, so even if it hasn't yet taken root, which is the next step, who says that's required? So Rava responded to Rapapa with a complimentary term. He says, Sudni. Rashi Wamsha says that Talmud Chacham has that title. Sudni is a Loshen of Soid, secret. Hashem reveals his secrets and his hidden wisdom to the Talmidim, the Talmidim Chachamim. In fact, the pasuk says, "Soid Hashem l'Rev." Hashem passes on his secrets to his those who are close to him. In any case, your question is, who says it needs hashrasha? Well, basada ksiv. The pasuk says, "Ashatizra basada." It's been planted basada in the field. It's been absorbed by the field. It has taken root. Okay, so bottom line is we have a source that any grains which have already taken root prior to the Omer will be covered by the Omer and permitted for consumption that year. No, okay, now as we learned, there are two issues regarding the new grain. Chadash may not be consumed before the Omer, nor can it be harvested before the Omer is harvested. However, there are some exceptions to the rule. As we learned the other day, poor quality fields don't have to, be concerned about this, because the issur with harvesting prior to Omer only applies to fields which yield quality grain, which can theoretically potentially be used for the Omer, but otherwise, if it's a poor quality situation, then you could even harvest it before the Omer. For instance, you can harvest grain off the drier fields down in the valleys where the crop is poor quality. Okay, so do that, so that it doesn't, dry up and get ruined and all that. Avaloi goichin, you can't pile it up. You can't turn it into, into a grain pile or all that. Don't process it. Other than cutting, because that's to prevent loss. But past that point, don't wait until the Omer is brought, because there's always a concern if you're going to be involved in it, you might eat it. In this case, only harvesting is muta, not eating, right, until the Omer. So just do the first step and that's it. Now, the Anshe Yericha, the people down in Yericha who lived in a valley, who were dealing with this type of, inferior, quality crop. So sure, Kaitrin, they would harvest even before the Omer. But Ten Chacham, this was in accordance with the Chacham's wishes. It was, in line with Halacha, as we just explained. But they went a step further. They would process their grains. This was done, you know, as a deviation. Against the wishes of the Chachamim. But, you know, Chachamim picked their battles. They didn't make a deal about it. They didn't protest, although it was inappropriate. Here come some more exceptions to the rule. If one decides to, cut his wheat in its young, undeveloped form, shachas is a lashon of destruction, in order to feed his animals, that is not considered an act of harvest. That's like destruction. And that's mutar before the omer. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Masai, when is that true? Bizman shemasal ashalev yishlish, when he at least begins the animal harvesting, when it's still yet before a third of its growth, so it's really not even considered grain in any way, that is considered an act of destruction, not an act of harvesting, and that's allowed before the omer. Aval, right. Rabbi Shimon Omer, one second, but if it's before, if it's after, if it's post Shalish, according to Rabbi Yudov, that's the cutoff point. Now it's already statused and labeled as grain, in which case harvesting this would be considered a proper harvest and not permitted until the after the Omer. Rabbi Shimon Omer takes it a step further. Yiktzar v'yachal, he can harvest and feed it, you know, to the animals, av mishevi shlish, even if it's post a third growth. Because the intended consumer is the animals, it's not really developed grain, it's just a snip, it's not really considered a harvest. More exceptions, cases where harvesting pre-Omer is permitted, we have some grain growing around the young trees, so there's overcrowding and there's loss involved. That's not considered an act of harvest. It actually gives us two reasons. He says, first of all, because it's inferior quality, that's what he says. So anything that grows between the trees doesn't really qualify for Omer material. And as we said before, that allows us to do the harvesting earlier. Another pshat in Rashi is because there's kelayim, because there's mix-up in species, so that's a mitzvah, an act of mitzvah. It's not a personal act of harvesting. Okay. Another example of a mitzvah harvest, which is allowed pre-Omer, b'pnei beis ha'evel, to make room for the mourners to sit, to allow for the talmidim to come learn Torah. Now, in these cases, although we allow harvesting, pre-Omer le'yaseis and kriches, you shouldn't turn them into tied bundles. Aval menichan tzvasim, leave them as, piles, little bundles, untied. We want to make it apparent that this is an exception, so that people realize that typically you don't harvest before the Omer. Mitzvah so Omer levim in akama. Now, what about the actual Omer material itself? Preferably, it's meant to be harvested off the ground, rather than, taking it off the shelf from storage. Leimatza, he can't, he doesn't find any harvest, any fresh grain to harvest. Yavimina Omerim, so you can use bundles that are sitting. Mitzvah Selavim in Alach. Ideally, you should have fresh material for the Omer, as the Pasuk says, Carmel, Rach, Mole, fresh, plump. Leimatza, there's none available. Yavimina Yavish, you can even bring older, dried material. Mitzvah Selavim in Alach. Ideally, you cut it at night between 15 and 16 of Nisan, as we learned back a couple of days ago, because the Sfiras Omer starts at the time of harvesting the Omer, and inevitably it has to be at night because you need full days, 7 full weeks. So we learned that the Sfiras Omer takes place at night. Next to Bayam Kosher, if he does it by day, it's okay. V'deichas Shabbos. And furthermore, harvesting of the Omer, despite it being a malacha, overrides Shabbos, as we're going to see in the Gemara. So we began with an interesting exception to the rule. Typically, you don't harvest before the Omer, but if it's an inferior quality product that could be harvested before the Omer. What is the source for this exception? We have a pasuk Tanya Rabbi Yom and Omer. We have an apparent contradiction between two pesukim regarding this issue. Kosev echad Omer. One pasuk it says, feel free, do harvesting, and then bring the Omer. Ktzartem es tziro, veisem es Omer, which sounds like you can harvest before the Omer as well, no problem. Then uksiv, we have another pasuk which says, no, reishis kitziruchem ala koin. The Omer is meant to be the first harvesting. Wait until after the Omer to begin harvesting. So which way is it? Allowed or not allowed? Okay, so it all depends what type of quality material we're talking about. If it's a field that can potentially supply the Omer material, high quality produce, then you must wait patiently for harvesting until after the Omer is harvested. However, a field which does not yield proper produce, which would not potentially be offered for the Omer, then you can harvest pre-Omer. But really it applies to all types of grain, all five primary grain. It's not a matter of what type, it's a matter of what quality. Who says? Maybe this whole issur is limited to barley, and that's what the pasuk is delineating. Ema, perhaps we shall say, Mimin, the type, Sha'ata, maybe. Barley, which is meant to supply the Omer, that type of field, got to hold back from harvesting until the Omer is harvested. Because that relates to the Omer, Iyata Koitzer. Mimin She'iyata, maybe, let's say a different type of grain, wheat, spelt, which is not suitable for Omer material. In that case, Ata Koitzer, you can harvest before the Omer. Maybe that's the difference. Well, so the Ma'ulim of the Samus, you can't even suggest as such. But Rabbi Yechon yesterday tells us that this rule applies to all five grains. That's a given. We learned from Challah, right? So that's a given. So the difference must be in terms of quality. So again, bottom line is, all five grains should not be harvested before the Omer is harvested, unless it's inferior quality, which wouldn't be suitable for the Omer in any case. In fact, Anshei Yerichai had that type of phenomenon. Koitzrin, they would harvest because they were living in the valley, Bertzen Chacham, which was okay, but they took it a step further, Begoitzin, Shalei Bertzen Chacham. Now, the Mishnah does conclude by saying, even though it was against the Chachamim's wishes, but they didn't make a deal, V'loi Micha V'yad, they didn't protest their activity. Now, who's known throughout Shas to have used this type of terminology? Protested, not protested. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Man Shamas like the Omar Micha B'le Micha. Who's the one who employs this type of terminology regarding this, It's Rabbi Yehuda. And in the Mishnah we learn that according to him, it was okay for them to harvest before the Omer. Really? V'sava Rabbi Yehuda k'tzira da'anshei Richai. Does Rabbi Yehuda hold that the harvesting in the Richai was okay? B'retzoy chacham mavoy v'atam yav b'raisa, which seems to indicate otherwise. That it was shaloi b'retzoy chacham, was not okay. Here comes a b'raisa. V'atam shisha dvarim osu anshei Richai. The following six customs were practiced by the residents of Richai. And it was split into two categories. Shloisha b'retzoy chachamim, three were okay. U'shloisha, and the other three practices were shaloi, Ritzon Chachamim, not in accordance with the will of the Chachamim. Ve'elu Shebetzon Chachamim, what are the three in the first category, which were okay, Markivin to Kolom Kalayim, they would graft their palms throughout the whole day, we're talking about the Erev Pesach, which you're not meant to do Malacha, but they considered it just a routine, not a, substantial Malacha, and they allowed it. V'korchan Shema, they would wrap up the words of Shema, they weren't really meticulous in their punctuations in Shema. V'koytzen from the Omer, and they would harvest before the Omer, and B'tzen Chachamim, it was okay. V'elo shloi B'tzen Chachamim, the following three were inconsistent with the will of the Chachamim. Goytzen from the Omer, they would bundle before the Omer. U'matirin gamzia shal Hegdish, they would allow the shearings of the trees of Hegdish, shal Chorev shal Shikma, the carob and sikma trees, which were donated by individuals, and they considered only the actual original tree in its original format to be Hegdish. Anything that grows subsequently, they didn't relate to Hegdish. They held that it's not Kaddish. Of course, we disagree. But they would allow people to just to take that. Shachar v'shal shikma. The third item, uperts and pirtzes beginning same. They had these gardens of vegetables. And they would breach it open. They would open it wide to allow poor people to come and benefit from it. Upar d'sein and their orchards. Lahachal nesher Laniyim, to allow the poor people to come and eat the fallen fruit, during the years of famine. It was a big act of tzedakah, but problem is timing. It was open on Shabbos and Yontif. Chacham don't allow one to eat a fruit that fell off a tree on Shabbos and Yontif for concern they might go climb up and do it themselves. But they allowed it, they didn't consider it a problem. So Rameh's opinion is, we have six items, three were in, three were out. Within the three that was in, we have the Ketzira Lefnei Omer. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda responds to him, Im Ritzon Chachamim, Heino Isin, if the first three items were okay, then why don't we all do it? You Kalad Oisin came. The fact that we don't indicates that really all six items were inconsistent with the Halacha. Elo, both categories, Shaloi Ritzon Chacham, were against the Chacham. Just the Chachamim chose to pick their battles. Bar Shloish Shemicha B'Yadam, on the three more severe issues they posed. Bar Shloish Shemicha B'Yadam, as opposed to the first three, they didn't make a big deal. But really, they're all not okay. Ve'elo Shemicha B'Yadam, what are the ones that are really bad, that are, inconsistent with Halacha, but were not opposed by the Chachamim? Markivin Kolom Kalayim, the grafting of the palms. V'korchan Hashema, they would harvest and process it before the Omer. So let's stop for a second. Clearly there's a steer here. Because here Rabbi Yehuda seems to say, harvesting of inferior quality fields before the Omer was not okay. And in the Mishnah, he seems to say it's okay. So we'll get back, loop back to that in a minute. Okay, first let's complete the list. So we had so far four items, which were Shaloi Bertzen Chacham, which were Loi Michu B'Yadim. Ve'elu Shemichu B'Yadim, the following elicited the Chachamim's protest because of the severity of the violation. Matirin Gamzir Shalei Shacharv Shashikma, allowing the shearings, the off the trees of Hegdish, Upertzen Pritzis Beginning Sein, Pardesein, allowing the poor to come into the fields on Shabbos, Kedei L'Hachal Nishar, to eat the fallen fruit, L'Aniyim, to feed them the fallen fruit, B'Shnei Batzuris, B'Shabbosus, Rebim Toivim. And here comes another item that he adds, of a Noisten Peah Yorak. They would set aside Peah from even vegetables, and the Halacha does not require that. So you'd ask, what's the big deal? They would be more generous. The answer is, there's a flip side, there's a downside, because as Rashi explains, Peah, which is given to the poor people, is exempt from Truma and Maser. It's like Hefker. So only something which is obligated in Peah justifies giving Peah, which is exempt from Truma and Maser. Otherwise, if you're giving Peah from random things which are not really obligated, you're really doing a good thing, but also you're depriving the Kohen and Levi of their portion, of their share of Truma and Maser from that specific material. So these were considered severe violations of Micha B'Yadim Chacham. In any case, let's loop back to the first part of Rabbi Yehuda's statement, that Ketzira in Yerichai was problematic. In the Mishnah, he seems to say it's okay because it was inferior quality and it's allowed before the Omer. Ask the Gemara, hold it. But what about the inconsistency in the numbers? According to what you're asking, according to your version of Rabbi Yehuda's presentation, where he includes Ketzira as a problematic activity, so if you count it up, it's really seven items. Right? Count it up. It's really seven items. You have the palms, you have the Shema, Koitrin and Goitrin before the Omer, that's four, plus the next three, it's a seven. And the Brisa begins with number six, not seven. With Tamech Shisha, why is it only six? Shiva Hava, it's really seven. So there must be something amiss. Ela Sami Mekan Ktsira, you have to delete Ktsira from here. It doesn't belong on the list. Okay, that solves the whole issue. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, really Ktsira and Yericho is okay, as per our Mishnah. What else is okay before the Omer? You can destroy, cut it young and feed it to the animals. That's not an act of ktsira, that's an act of destruction for all practical purposes. Non-hasam. Okay, so let's elaborate on this point. We have a Mishnah back in Maseches Peah. Again, he meant to leave the corner of the field for poor people. So each field is meant to have its corner, right? Let's say you have this huge field, and you have some sort of landmark or some sort of a stream or a river coming through the middle. That separates the field into two distinct entities, in which case each section requires its own peah. It's like two fields. So which items are considered as separations, which items not? Ve'elu mafsikin lepeah, the following landmarks affect a separation in the field, marking it as two separate fields. Hanachal, or Ravina, Shlulis, like a brook, Ve'erach HaYachid, a privately owned road, a public thoroughfare, a public pathway, a private pathway which lasts all season, so it's a proper pathway, a kavua which is permanent, which is there throughout the summer, throughout the winter, a strip of land which is lying fallow. Okay, so that sort of splits the field into two, near, or a strip of land which had been just plowed, not planted. Vizera acher, a different type of plant running in the middle of the field. So you have wheat on one side, wheat on the other, and barley in the middle. Oh, v'koytze l'shachas. He took his combine, he ran right through his field, cut a strip right across the middle, while the grain was not yet fully grown. L'shachas. It was meant for animal feed. Mavsik. That's called an act of destruction. It's not like he started harvesting and it's just one big harvest. He destroyed the middle of his field. And now you have two separate fields, one on either side. Mafsik, that's Rameir's opinion. Okay, so actually, Gemara later will analyze Rameir's Shita and will come out that according to Rameir, it's not a matter of who the intended recipient is, intended consumer. So even if he intended it for personal, human use, the fact is he cut it too early in the game. That's called an act of destruction. No, that's not considered a separation. it's considered the beginning of the harvest, unless he went and he actually plowed the area. So that's a plowed area. It's like near. It's a new entity which creates that distinction. Okay? Bottom line is, according to Reb Meir, cutting your grain too early is deemed an act of destruction. Now you have a destroyed section within your field. Amar Rabba Bar Chama. Amar Yechon. Let's now link back to our Mishnah. Reb Meir, who says, cutting it too young is not an act of harvest. B'shitas Rabbi Shimon Amra. That's following Rabbi Shimon's Shita. It's in line with Rabbi Shimon, now a Mishnah. The Amar says, likewise, regarding the prohibition of harvesting before the Omer, he says, only an act of true harvest. But if you cut in your grain too young, even if it's already past a third of its growth, technically it's regarded as grain and somewhat edible, but it's early in the game, it's not mature, it's not fully grown. If you cut it at that point, that's called an act of destruction, not an act of harvest. Rishitas Rav Shimon Amar, the Amar who tells us, Yiktzor v'yachal af mishivi yishlish. Before the Omer, go ahead, be my guest, go. Cut down your grain, even if it's already past a third of its growth. Why? Alma Kasav apparently he holds, kol l'shachas, any sort of abnormal harvest, laftziri, cutting it too young, cutting it too early in the game, is not considered an act of harvest. Laftziri. So the Gemara links together the heter of doing this young harvest before the Omer to the halacha of Peah, where it creates that hefsek, because it's not considered a harvested area, it's a destroyed area. Yosef Rabba, he was sitting with Karmel Lashmait and saying over this analogy, this connection between Rav Meir, Rav Shimon, and now Mishnah. Eisvei Rav Acha Bar Baruna L'Rab, he had a question. He says, take a look at the next price. It's a tesefta. Which elements create a separation in the field regarding Peah? Achla Chagav, let's say grasshopper came along and just consumed a strip of the field. Kirasimu Namalm, or ants, you know, chewed it up from the bottom and felled it like that. So it wasn't a proper, you know, conventional mode of harvesting. Shvarat Ruach, the wind came and knocked down, you know, a strip of grain. All agree, we deem it as an act of harvest. It's not considered like a destroyed section of your field, irrespective of the mode of harvest. Hakol Moedim, all agree, even Rameir agrees. Charash Mafsik, only if he plowed it and he turned it into a plowed area, it's a new type of entity. But Loi Charash ain't a Mafsik. So only if it's Charash, it's Mafsik. But otherwise, the fact that it was picked in this abnormal way, it's considered an act of harvest. It's not a destroyed area. Now, how come we say all agree, man, who are we trying to cover? Rav Meir, even Rav Meir, who considers it a mafsik before, but not in this case. Why? What's the difference? We have to reconcile this apparent contradiction. There he said that kaisa l'shachas, an abnormal, you know, cutting is an act of destruction. It makes a hefsek in the field. And here he says not. So it seems that the only solution would be if we separate the cases as follows. We say, look, over there we're talking that it's still very, very undeveloped. It's under a third of its growth. That's an act of destruction. It's not suitable for harvesting at all. But here we're talking that it was harvested after it grew that to the point of a third. So somewhat it's considered grain, and therefore, even though it was cut in an abnormal way, it's considered an act of tzira. It's considered the beginning of your harvest. If you'll agree to separate the cases, and explain and interpret that the initial Mishnah there is talking that it's still too young and undeveloped before a third of its growth, and therefore it's considered an act of destruction and makes a hefsek in the field, Bryce, as opposed to the recent Bryce, which does not consider it a hefsek. The Charashin, the Charashloi, this last Bryce, which says only if you plowed it, it's a hefsek, but otherwise it's not a hefsek. V'shevishlish, we're speaking that the grain has already developed to the point of a third, so it's technically suitable for harvesting to a certain extent. So then, it would explain why it's deemed as such. Elo, Iamris, Masnisan, Nami, V'shevishlish, but according to our earlier contention, that according to our mayor, even once it reaches a third, still too young, too immature for harvesting. And therefore, it's considered an act of shachas, act of destruction, which is in line with Rav Shimon Nau Mishnah, who says that even once it gets to a third, it's still considered an act of destruction. Okay, but how could you reconcile the most recent brisa? Which says that according to Rav Meir as well, even if it was felled by a wind, by grasshoppers, it's considered an act of tzira? How does that work? Hashta, look, umahosam, even in that first Mishnah, the tzira, where he took his combine, he took a sickle, it was a proper, you know, cut, proper harvest. Still, Amar Rav Meir, lo yishmak tzira, it's not regarded as a harvest, because it's not ready for harvesting. Hachalakoshkin, certainly in the brisa where the ants got a hold of it, the grasshoppers, of course it should not be considered. So we're sort of stuck. Ella says, rather, let's take a different route. Rameir b'shitas Rabbi Yehuda Amra. Rameir will follow Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, who says, it depends how developed it is. Below a third is destruction. Above a third is harvesting. And that will also reconcile the apparent contradiction between the Mishnah and the brisa here. Depends on what state he harvested it. The Amar tells us, right? So again, it's B'shitas Rabbi Yehuda Amra. The Amar Imasai, when do we say harvesting unfinished grain is considered destruction? B'zman she'eskel. Ha'achalei v'shlish, at least he began the process before it reached the third. Aval emiskel ha'achalei v'shlish, but he waited until the third. Asur, he can't do it before the Omer. It's considered katsira. And the same here, consider harvesting. Hold it, says the Gemara. Who is the intended consumer, according to Rabbi Yehuda? It would appear from the Mishnah. Take a look at the Mishnah. It says, Koytel l'shachas, machal behema. L'shachas was intended for animal feed, so we take the intended consumer into account. So we have two conditions. It's got to be below a third in terms of the grain value. In terms of the consumer value, it has to be for the animal. Right? Rabbi Yehuda comes and explains, a masai. In addition to the consumer condition, you need the grain condition as well, meaning it has to be below a third. Two conditions have to be met for it to be regarded as an act of destruction. Right? That's clearly Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Or apparently Rabbi Yehuda's shita, right? Emor d'shamas le'Rabbi Yehuda le'behema. It's true that Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's an act of destruction because it's for animal feed. But if it's intended for a person, for human use, who's to say that he would agree? In fact, it would seem from the Mishnah that he doesn't agree. That is considered destruction. Because otherwise, you'll end up with three opinions in the Mishnah, which doesn't seem like that from the Mishnah. Because take a look back at the Mishnah. Let's flip back for a second, right? So the Mishnah says, "Koytel shachas, machal behem." It can feed it meant for the animals. And it's not considered ktsira, it's mutter before the Omer. Omer Vida, a masai. A masai, Rashi explains, is merely explaining, is elaborating. He's not arguing, he's explaining, meaning I agree to that first condition. The end consumer must be the animal. Furthermore, in terms of the development of the grain, it must be below a third for it to qualify to be considered an act of destruction. And Rav Shimon adds, well, even a third. Right? There are no three opinions here. There's no, like, Tanakama was saying it's meant for the animals only, and Rabbi says, well, you don't have to reckon that condition. It's all just a matter of how developed the grain is. Then Rav Shimon, which will be three shittas. It doesn't seem like that from the Mishnah. Imasa is just explaining the earlier statement. If that's the case, Rabbi Yehuda has another condition. Below a third growth, and also the intended consumer. It has to be for the sake of the animals. Whereas Reb Meir does not stipulate that as a condition. He says as long as it's being cut early, that's considered destruction. So we're sort of out of luck here. Ella, Kiyos Rav Dimi, Amar. Rather, Rav Dimi came and explained, I'll find you a Shita who Reb Meir aligned himself with. Reb Meir, B'shitas Reb Akiva, Rabba Yomer. Reb Meir aligned himself with his Reb Meir Akiva. Damar says, even if it's meant for a person, meant for human consumption, if it's done in an abnormal way, cut too young, cut too, it's considered lo have ktsira. It's an act of destruction. It's not ktsira. Okay, where do we find Rabbi Akiva? It's not. Hamanamr. Manamr, he leopards his field. Like a leopard that has the spots. So he basically alternated. For some reason he decided to cut one row, skip the next one, cut the third one. Okay, so he's spotting up his field. Hamanamr saw the Bashir by Klacham Lacham left behind the rows whose grain was not yet still young and moist, was still raw and not yet ready for harvesting. Rashi explains, of course, if we're talking about a regular field, which is fully grown and fully ready for harvesting, so even if he does this funny act, formation of harvesting, it doesn't matter. It's one big harvesting. It's all one act of ktsira. It's one field, and there's only one pair that he gives from the corner at the end of the day, and that's it. But here, the other grain that he left behind wasn't ready for harvesting. So what happens now? Do we consider each section as a separate section regarding peah, like a separate field? Each one is a separate harvest. Each section is deemed separately. Right? Because as we explained, if it's an abnormal harvesting process, it's considered like destruction to a certain extent, and it's not considered the initiation of the full harvest. So each section has its own status, its own entity. No, except the whole field is one entity, so just give peah, in one area, that takes care of everything. He explained like this, that what do we say each section is separate? That's only when he harvested, that whatever he took was not really ready. It was still young and moist and not, fully. Rashi actually says it was less than a third in its growth. Right? So it's not really ready for harvesting. How's he going to eat it? Klayos. They turn it into roasted, wheat, and that's how they eat it. Avo ben menamer lo yitzer loy. But if it's fully grown, it's just, harvesting it section by section in this funny way, but end of the day it's fully grown and it's lighter, it's meant for storage, it's perfectly fine grain, fully grown. So then we wouldn't separate the sections, it's ready to be harvested, and this is the way he's harvesting the whole field. It's one act of harvest and it's one entity. So we found our source, we located our source. Here we have a sheet of Rebbe Akiva. A young harvest is not considered a proper harvest, even if it's intended for personal human consumption. That's like Rav Meir, who says likewise. A young harvest is not considered an act of harvest, even though the intended consumer is an adam. However, as we explained before, even according to Rav Meir, but if it's already properly developed wheat past the third, then of course Rebbe would agree it's considered an active harvest because the grain itself is somewhat suitable for harvesting. Says the Gemara, behold it, I'll show you that according to Rebbe Akiva, even if it's fully grown, fully developed, but if it's harvested in this funny way, abnormal way, section by section, because the other one wasn't ready yet, so each one is deemed a separate harvest and not a proper harvest. Says the Gemara, "Any is that so?" Vara ki also Raven, Rabbi Yechanan. He explained, "Mechayev hay Rabbi Akiva." Rabbi Akiva would apply the same principle, the same sort of separate principle, to consider each section separate because it's not considered a proper harvest. It's considered somewhat like an act of destruction. I feel a bit menamer lo itzar, even if the grain is ready to go, ready for storage. Why? Because it wasn't really a proper harvest. Typically, you harvest the whole field as one when it's all ready. Here, he grabbed a piece from here, a piece from here, waiting for everything to, to develop and to grow. So, since some sections are not fully developed, it's not considered a proper harvest, despite the fact that what he did take is ready to go. That's not like Rav Meir, who says that if it's ready to go, it's considered an active harvest. Says in what you write, Rav Meir picked and chose. He adopted Rav Akiva's opinion partway. Yes, regarding young grain, and not regarding fully developed grain. On the one hand, he agreed with Rabbi Akiva. It's less than a third in growth. You take it off, it's considered destruction, even if it's intended for a person. On the other hand, he disagreed with him regarding the fully mature wheat. Rabbi Akiva considers it non-tzira in this circumstance. Rabbi Meir says, no, once it's past the third, since on account of the grain it's somewhat ready, so whatever happens is considered an act of tzira. Okay, let's recap today's daf. The Omer permits the new crop for consumption, provided the new crop took root, asher tizra basod, before the Omer was brought. Typically, we don't harvest before the Omer, unless it's a field of inferior quality, which wouldn't be suitable for the Omer anyways, and that's learned from Pasuk. That's exactly what happened in Yericho. Some exceptions to the rule would be harvesting for the sake of mitzvah, harvesting for shachas. What exactly constitutes shachas? We have two shittas in the Mishnah. So it's meant for the animals, but how undeveloped is it? According to one shita, specifically under a third. According to the other shita, Reb Shimon, even above a third. And according to Reb Meir, it's sort of a third shita that has to be below a third, provided, and even though, even if it's not intended for animal use, even for Adam use, but since it's being cut prematurely, we don't deem it as an act of tzira, rather an act of destruction. It has two applications. One regarding permitting the tzira before the Omer, and secondly regarding splitting up the field into two distinct sections regarding Peah. Okay, all the best to you. Atzlacha Rabbah.